Focus on the Communal Memories 107.9 WAMW and Worldwide Live from WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Schwartzentruber. Each week we focus on a topic important to our community. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington and Ligoti. Well, we're continuing with a thread of discussion, an issue that's important to our community, and I'm joined this week by Kirk Lehman, who is the CEO of RTC Communications. Welcome, Kirk.
Well, thank you, Grant. It's great to be here.
So you probably know what we're talking about here, Kirk, but it's something that we've talked about for a couple of weeks now, and something that I've had a lot of feedback about just out on the street and when I run into people, and they're interested in our discussions on rural broadband access to different areas in our community. And when I say our community, I'm talking about obviously, Daviess County and the surrounding counties. We have a large coverage area here, Kirk. It's Daviess and Pike and Knox, parts of Green, Martin, Dubois. So quite a bit of an area that we cover here. And I guess we'll start off as we get into talking about access to rural broadband. Tell us a little bit about your background and then also maybe fill us in on what RTC is and what it does.
Yeah, absolutely, Grant. First of all, thank you again for having us. It's always great to have the opportunity to tell the RTC story. I'm sort of a newcomer to the state of Indiana. I've been in Indiana for about 2 years now. I started out with my career in Fort Wayne, Indiana, but I've been in the industry for 19 years. I work for one of the larger telecommunications provider in the United States before just recently taking on the role of CEO for RTC. In Montgomery, Indiana here. Now, RTC is was formulated in 1949, so it's nearly a 70-year-old organization that provides voice, video, and data products to service areas that you just outlined. We are the ILEC, the incumbent LEC carrier, or what you
refer
to. Okay,
I'm going to stop you there. What did you just say, ILEC?
ILEC. Okay. In our industry, and I'm sorry, I apologize for using the acronyms.
No problem.
We're referred to as the local phone company. A lot of millennials don't understand what that means because a local phone company is their Verizon or their AT&T cellular service. But when you and I grew up, we referred to the local phone company or the ILEC, incumbent local exchange carrier. And we're the phone company in a great part of Daviess County, Martin County, and Lawrence County. So, again, we provide voice, video, and data products to service those areas in southwest Indiana.
Okay, so you're not originally from Daviess County, but of the whole world, you've chosen to live here and to locate here. And maybe tell me, how did you get to Daviess County?
Well, I took a promotion with my former employer and moved to Fort Wayne, Indiana. And I always wanted to get on the independent or cooperative side of the business. So it was really a career advancement for me. I was a director of operations for the state of Indiana for another carrier. I won't mention their name right now. It's not important. But had the opportunity to come down and run a small rural phone company that really, really was forward thinking. And it was a great opportunity. My wife and I visited the area. We fell in love with the area. We're from Minnesota, so it really gave us a feel of Minnesota, and we like the climate. Of course, that's an improvement.
Play hockey down here.
No.
We play basketball.
Not yet, but I understand there are some teams forming down in the Evansville area. So, but we love the area, love RTC, got a great team over at RTC. It was a great opportunity. The board of directors for RTC chosen me to lead the company into the future, and we got a great foundation, and I think you're going to like what you hear.
Wonderful. So we heard a little bit about you. I want to talk about a study that came out recently. And we talked about this study on past shows, and we've shared it on social media just so people can look at it. And maybe they don't agree with us, but we've sensed that there's an issue with rural broadband and access to different parts of our community and our surrounding communities. And so that's kind of why we're talking about this, trying to shine a light on this issue in particular. So maybe tell me, what do you notice about this area? Is it different than where you've been before?
Well, Grant, let me refer to the areas that we serve. First of all, I do agree that rural broadband is the topic of most discussions on county, state, and federal level, and it is an issue. And I'm not sure that we've all figured out the secret sauce and how we deliver those services to customers who certainly need them to run their businesses and their homes. But in Davies, Martin, and Lawrence County, the counties that we serve, 9 years ago, starting in 2009, we started replacing all of our copper infrastructure with fiber optic cable. So I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but nearly half of our customers today are on fiber optic cable.
That's wonderful. And I'll butt in just briefly, but just for our listeners, that is, and maybe you can tell them, that's quite a bit faster than your old, than the former avenues for the internet.
It is. It virtually gives you access to unlimited bandwidth. And that's really where the conversation starts. On the FCC and the USDA and even on the state levels, we're all trying to figure out what is a standard broadband service that meets the minimal requirement for the consumer or for the business. And I think the conversations have sort of settled on the 25 meg download and 3 meg upload speeds.
And we would call that 25 and 3. Is
25
that right?
And 3, that's correct. Download, okay. Upload. The difficulty with copper infrastructure, which most of your carriers across the United States, I mean, I think I read a study where 15% of the carriers across the United States are fiber optic. So most of your rural customers are on copper. And so the challenge with copper is it's distance limited, it's weather sensitive, and really, unless you shorten the loop lengths, meaning we are able to bring our central office equipment closer to the customer's home, it really, you're limited on the amount of bandwidth that you can deliver. I would say a 25 meg service would be about the max you'd want to deliver over copper. Now, they are capable of delivering a 100 meg service over copper, but you have to have short loops, meaning the distance between the carrier and the customer's premise.
Okay, so basically you have to be close to wherever you're providing that.
That's
and if
correct.
You're not, you're not going to get the speeds that you want.
That's correct. Unlike fiber optic, you can deliver virtually an unlimited bandwidth, and you can travel or traverse up to about 25 miles on fiber optic cable. Plus, it's less expensive to deploy. I mean, it's a great, you know, sexy term, fiber optic, but the reality of it is most carriers would rather deploy fiber because it's cheaper to deploy.
So let me ask you then. I mean, if the carriers want it, the customers want it, right? So what's the rate limiting step?
Well, really, what it boils down to is cost. For us to deploy fiber optic cable is about $41,000 a mile, not including the electronics. So, in the rural areas where it's a highly dense population, you know, the costs are just so astronomical. I mean, you got to realize too that customers are expecting to pay little to nothing for these services, right? I mean, $19.99 to about $49.99 is about the threshold or the limit that customers are willing to pay for that.
We want more and we want it for less, right?
So you spend a couple hundred thousand dollars to feed three households at, let's say on the high end, $49 a month. You know, you don't have to be a genius to figure out that there's really not the payback there. So that's really been the challenge, and is how most of us carriers or providers can fund it and still stay in business, because it has to make sense at the end of the day.
And that's an interesting point. I mean, ultimately, these things come down to cost. I guess in the study, from what I recall, folks would pay upwards of, I don't know, $150 a month to have quick internet, to have fast internet. And some of the discussion that I've heard, and I don't know what, if this makes sense, but perhaps it could be, someone actually has to take that risk. A government or a company and inputs that fiber, and then they're paid back whatever the increment is over a period of time.
That's absolutely correct. I don't care if it's RTC or AT&T or an REMC. There has to be a conversation around how you subsidize those builds, because that's really the key to success. Now, in cases like RTC, we've built out to areas, we call it CLECing, or edge out project where we
go CLEC again. Would you explain what that is?
CLEC is any area outside of our normal boundaries or our normal areas of operation. We call it a competitive local exchange carrier. So recently, for example, we built into Washington, South Washington. Now this is an AT&T area. We found, 40 homes that were not underserved, but unserved. So we actually funded that project on our own. We didn't ask for any subsidies. We didn't reach out to any folks to try and help offset some of the costs. But the surprising thing is that even with that build out and delivering a fiber to the home product, which we know adds $5,700 to the price of the home immediately as soon as it's lit up, not all the customers took it.
Wow.
And that's the other thing that I don't think a lot of the politicians and a lot of the folks want, is there's that if you build it, they'll come mentality. And it's just not the case in this industry. There's a lot of folks vying for those scarce resources from the consumer, such as cellular, Netflix, and other providers, that you're not seeing the take rates. So you're not seeing there's a small vocal or a minority of voices that you hear that say, we need it out here. We need to operate our homes and our businesses. But surprisingly, when you build it and you spend the money, you're not getting, you would think 100% take rate or even an 85% take rate. You just don't see that, especially where there's competition.
What is the take rate? What would you estimate that
is? In an area that's highly competitive, and I'll use an example of Washington where you have multiple providers here, you're probably closer to that 30 to 37% take rate if you were to spend the money. So that's the issue. And so
when you talk about take rate, I'm assuming you mean people that recognize that it's a value, that it's faster, and they're willing to pay for it. Is that right?
Quite simply, Grant, that's exactly what it is. I'm going to spend $10 million to overbuild the city of Washington with fiber to the home. I would expect, or in any conversation, you'd hear folks say, well, everybody will do business with you. It's just not the case. It's just simply not the case. And so you have to build your return on investment plans because it has to make sense, and you build that on your take rate. For a particular area.
It's very interesting. I'm on with Kirk Lehman, who is the CEO of RTC Communications. That's Rural Telephone Corp. Originally, right?
Correct.
And anymore, I mean, you guys are into all sorts of things, not just telephones.
We offer a great voice product, digital voice product, and we offer television. So we offer all three of the products, what we call the triple play, voice, video, and data. Again, half of our customers are on fiber optic cable today. So if you're living in Davies, Martin, or Lawrence County and you're served by RTC, chances are they're on fiber. We've accelerated our build since 2009, and we hope to complete our build over the next 24 months so that all customers served by RTC will be on fiber optic cable. And we're replacing our entire infrastructure. So it's not just the middle mile infrastructure, but it's the last mile. It's from the curb to the home, replacing it with state-of-the-art electronics. And so one of the things I'd mentioned earlier, I spent 19 years in this industry, and people don't realize it, but if you are connected to RTC in these three communities,
you're
delivering world-class services. And I guarantee you, you're not getting these same level of services in Indianapolis or Minneapolis. So we've done a good job of trying to reinvest in these communities and provide great rural broadband for our customers.
Well, this is wonderful because it's certainly a different perspective than what you might hear from maybe even the study that I talked about earlier, or from some of the naysayers who you mentioned it. The thought is, if you build it, you know, everybody will come and latch on to that. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't appear that that's necessarily the case. So when you're going about handling a project like the south side of Washington, I mean, do you pull these 50 or 60 homes and say, hey, who's going to come with us? And then you do a calculation, or how do you figure out?
Oh, absolutely. We engineer the project, so we understand what our costs are associated with the project. And then we typically go in and we try to what we call sell or pre-sell the project. Going literally door to door or outbound calls, where we are allowed to call those customers and explain the projects that we have and the scope and what it means to them. We do community outreach programs where we'll do town halls, explain what's going on. We just recently conducted four of those throughout Davies, Martin, and Lawrence County in the latter part of 2017. Just to take the message and let folks know what we're going to be delivering. And if they're interested, we'd certainly like to get not a written commitment, but a verbal commitment that they're interested in buying our services and products. It makes it a little easier on us and our bankers when we're funding these projects and things like that.
I think the bankers want something in writing, don't they?
Well, they'd like to, but it's difficult. And the residential customer is the hardest customer to penetrate into because more and more folks are using cellular devices and other means of connecting. But I think as you're seeing the technologies evolve, especially over the last 4 years, 5 years, and maybe the next 5 years, we call it over the top. Everything seems to be delivered now through or via the internet, and voice, video, and data being delivered over the internet. So having access to a world-class fiber network like RTC's, I think, is going to really position these three counties or the customers we serve in these three counties really well over the next 10 years.
Well, that's good to hear. I guess I want to jump back to whether or not this really is a problem, because we're having a kind of a different conversation, which is helpful for me to understand. So I guess the study says that a third of the population in Davies and, you know, 25% to a third in some of the surrounding counties are without access to that 25.3 level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you believe that to be accurate, or do you think that it's somewhere lower than that or maybe higher than that?
No, absolutely. I would say it's accurate. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying not in the RTC footprint, but outside the footprints where, say, some of the bigger players are operating, it certainly is a problem. And again, it really comes down to, Grant, is trying to find a way to subsidize these builds. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and defend, you know, the larger players in the industry. I mean, they would certainly...
I don't think AT&T needs you to defend them. But
they deal with the similar things that we deal with, right? It's finding a way to offset the cost so it makes sense. And it's really a partnership. I'll give you an example. We're looking at doing another project in the South Washington area, and we've reached out to the USDA because they've got what's called a Connect America grant program. And so, you know, it made sense. This is a perfect opportunity to serve. I think there was 40 to 50 customers out in this area that are unserved today. I don't mean underserved, and I mean unserved from a landline perspective, because I'm a believer that in order to run a home or a business, you need to run that with a land-based internet connection. I don't think you can run a business on a cellular data network. And I don't think you can run a home on a cellular data network. But we reached out to our USDA representative, and we started the process for applying for that grant. And we were told to go out in the area and survey it and find out if it was offered by Verizon or AT&T from a cellular basis, if they could get a 25 meg connection. And they could. And so it was off limits from a grant perspective. So now for us to go into that area, if we decide to do it, we have to fund that on our own. And, you know, I'm not saying that it's not possible, but you now have to broach that $49 to $59 a month in order to get into that 5 or 6 or even 7 year payback on the investment, because you're dealing with residential customers. And again, we would love to serve every residential customer in Davies County. Truly, everyone at RTC feels that way. But it's a difficult conversation, because you just don't see the penetration rates or the take rates that we discussed earlier. So you have to do it in a phased-in, systematic program, and you just do these small edge-out projects.
And you pay that part off, and then you move to the next. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And there aren't limited resources.
No, I totally understand that. So we talked a little bit about these builds and how we might subsidize something like that. So let's just pretend that you've got a group of 50 people in an area or in a neighborhood, and they're underserved or unserved.
Mm-hmm.
How might they go about dealing with that problem, approaching RTC, et cetera?
Listen, we encourage everyone in the communities, and we've tried to do a pretty good job through social media and other outreach programs to let people know, call us. We're willing to sit down at the table. We've talked to the Economic Development Corporation for Davies County, and they were a great partner in the Eastern Corridor build that we participated in, and they helped fund that, and that's what brought world-class fiber optic cable to Eastern Washington to serve some of those businesses out in that area. But it just starts with a conversation, sitting down face-to-face. We share information with our customers on what the real costs are, and we just try to come up with a solution, or what I term the secret sauce, and trying to figure out what and how it makes sense for us to get service to those customers.
And you've used that term secret sauce twice, so we are going to have to close out here, but talk a little bit about that, what that means, and how RTC can bring people into the rural broadband.
Well, so for our perspective, what we try to do, and we're going to be building into Washington, is we look for, you know, any of these enterprise, large enterprise customers, and that gives us sort of an anchor foothold to pick up a large
defrays
company.
A big piece of the
it
cost.
It defrays a big piece of the cost, because some of the anchor tenants are more willing to pay an aid to construction, if you will, or help offset some of those costs, and then sometimes the cities and the counties will get involved in that. We haven't in this particular case. And then as we get into the area and we have our infrastructure built into Washington, we'll look at fiberhoods where our infrastructure passes, and then we can overbuild in a community within the city of Washington that may have 50 to 100 homes. And then we'll go in there, find a community leader or a neighborhood leader that will work with us to help pre-sell it, let them know what they can expect once we deliver the services and what they customers can see on the back end of that, and work with them. I mean, it's really a joint effort between some community leaders, the enterprise customers or the large business customers in a particular area. And we asked the city, the state, and we've asked on the federal level. We've all got to be involved in this. It's no different than rural electrification back in the day when, you know, everybody had to have, you know, electricity at their farms. There was a program out there to offset that. The universal services charge for phone business was the same way. Those funds were used to bring rural telephone into these communities, and now the federal government, the FCC, is swinging that universal services charge to help companies like RTC and other providers offset the cost of delivering rural broadband. But getting back to your point, Grant, yes, it is an issue, but I think, you know, from RTC's perspective, we're part of the solution, we're not part of the problem. And I've read a lot of articles recently about rural broadband in these areas, and I'm like, I was really delighted that you asked me to come down
thrilled
to tell our story, so...
Well, thank you for coming on. I mean, we talk about rural broadband, and obviously you know, but it's just so important anymore as a type of infrastructure, mm-hmm. and in development of an area. And so we're really happy to have you on the show to talk about this issue, and it sounds like we've got a willing partner for
we
folks
do.
In RTC.
Yeah, if anyone in the audience would love to give me a call, they can reach me at area code 812. Obviously, 486-3211. Be happy to sit down with anybody in these communities of Davies, Martin, and Lawrence County and discuss projects that may make sense for them and their friends and family.
Well, very good. Thank you, Kirk, for coming on. That's Kirk Lehman, the CEO of RTC Communications, and we'll look forward. Maybe we'll have you on again in the future and
love
just
to
tell us about the updates you guys have made.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Thank you, Kirk.
Thank you.
Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington, Lagodi. You can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. on 4-Star Country, the General 95.9 FM, 1580 a.m. You can also listen to a copy of today's program and past shows by visiting WAMW-AMFM.com. I'm Grant Swartzentruber, inviting you to tune in every Saturday morning at 8:35 a.m. on Memories 107.9 WAMW and each Sunday morning on 95.9 and 1580 WAMW as we focus on the community.